Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to Markman Madness on this Monday. I'm Mark Heffernan. Our producer is Mark Mancini from Mancini Media. And you can get in touch with me a couple of ways. Two email sites, markheff20@gmail.com or sportswrapnet@yahoo.com. That's markheff20@gmail.com or sportswrapnet@yahoo.com. sportswrapnet@yahoo.com. Our number 347-205-9631. 347-205-9631. That is your number to listen to the show. Also, it's your number if you would like to be a sponsor of the program or you know somebody that you think would like to be a sponsor of this program, Markman Madness. 347-205-9631. Tell that person to listen to the show right now tonight. We're on for another hour. 347-205-9631. Coming up in about 8 minutes, we have J.B. Ellis, J.B. Joe Ellis from Brooklyn, New York, covers sports and life, has a podcast called The Program, also is a sports writer. A lot of things going on with J.B. We will check with him in about 8 minutes tonight here on Markman Madness. Okay, World Series is set. The first game will be Friday in Houston between the freaking Phillies, Philadelphia Phillies. What? They beat the San Diego Padres three straight in Philadelphia, won that series 4-1. You know, the Phillies are 9-2 this year in the postseason. Pretty good for a team that finished third in their division. You know what the Atlanta Braves say? We'll beat them next year in the regular season. They're not as good as we. Yeah, they advanced farther this year, but you know what? When it's all said and done, the Atlanta Braves, some of their players said, we'll still beat them next year in the division. At any rate, they went 4-3 yesterday. Soto had a home run for the Padres. He had a home run the last two games of that series, and, of course, a big blast by Mr. Bryce Harper. Left center field, fell off about 5 or 6 pitches, hit it deep. That was basically the go-ahead tie-breaking run as they went 4-3. That was an eighth inning. Now, some Padres fans and some of the baseball fans are wondering, why didn't Bob Melvin bring in Josh Hader in the eighth inning? Does Hader ever get 6 out saves? Or are you people thinking that Hader is going to pitch the eighth and somebody else will pitch the ninth? So a lot of people are saying, well, you should bring in Hader to pitch against Harper, left-handed thrower against a left-handed batter, and he could, you know, do more damage than what happened, possibly. But the question is, who would pitch the ninth if he disposed of Harper and the Phillies? You know, the thing is, when you're a manager, you're kind of damned if you do and damned if you don't. And so when you make moves that turn out to be good, you're great. You're the king of the castle. When you don't, you're a dupless, basically. But you know what? You know, managers make decisions, but the players execute or don't execute. It's really more on the players than on the manager. I mean, Bryce Harper hit the home run. The manager didn't. They got a guy on base for him. So the question is, should they have walked Bryce Harper to put runners at first and second for the next batter that decided to pitch to him with a runner on base? Would you have walked Bryce Harper? Would you have brought in Josh Hader? Now, being a fan, if you're a Phillies fan or a Padres fan, what would you have done? Would you have pitched to Bryce Harper? That was his fifth home run in the postseason. He had 18 during the regular year because he was hurt a lot. And so there is different scenarios to look at, but a manager basically has to make, you know, very quick decisions. I'm sure he's thinking about this, you know, 5 minutes before, but he decided to pitch to Bryce Harper with a runner on base. And Harper fouled off all the pitches and burned him with the home run. But, you know, Harper is capable of doing that. So that happens in baseball. It happens in sports. And you can throw pitchforks and, you know, darts at the manager after the fact, after it happens. But, you know, if they would have got Harper out, if he would have popped up or grounded out or struck out, then it's a great move by Melvin. Since it's a two-run homer, not a great move. But that's why managers are hired to be fired. Whether it's in 1 year, 2, 3, or 4, generally, unless you're Bill Belichick, you're hired to be fired. Okay. Anyway, Harper, his fifth home run of the postseason. And Jeromy Peña, rookie shortstop, the MVP of the National League Championship Series, kind of an older rookie, I think 24, 25 years old, but his home run was a big time for Houston as they beat the Yankees by the score of 6-5. Yankees had a 4-0 lead, scored three runs early to lead 3-0. And then, of course, the Astros, which they always do, came back to tie it up. Kind of game went back and forth. And then, of course, Houston wins at the end, 6-5. They complete a four-game sweep of the Yankees. And I think the only team to knock out the Yankees in the postseason four consecutive times. That's right, four consecutive times. Now, this is the Houston's fourth time in World Series in the past 6 years. They have one World Series win. That was against the Dodgers in 2017. You know, the cheating scandal, the, what are they, hitting the garbage cans, things like that. That is so darn goofy. Not doing that anymore. They have a fine ball club, had a great ball club then, had a great, excellent combination of pitching and hitting and defense, just like the team now that has Dusty Baker as manager. Nonetheless, Houston will host the first two games of the World Series starting Friday. So Houston with the four-game sweep of the Yankees. They won all seven games in the postseason, and Philadelphia is 9-2. Should be awesome. Okay, Judge, what about Aaron Judge of the Yankees? Should he stay or should he go? 347-205-9631. 62 home runs this year. Did not have a blast in the American League Championship Series. In fact, he hit .063. He did not even hit 100. He did not look comfortable at the plate. He didn't look like he was ready to hit. He looked like his mind was somewhere else. Thinking about money, let's put it, man, he's going to make a lot of money. Well, he finds, well, the Yankees or somebody else. Just like Trey Turner. Now, Trey Turner of the Dodgers had a couple of home runs, and the NLDS made some blunders in the field. I know about that. But, you know, he hit fairly well, I think around 300. Was he thinking about the money? Trey Turner's going to make a lot of money. Whether he signs with the Dodgers or somebody else, so that should not be the case. It looked like Judge was mentally exhausted. You know, I think it's better to hit 45 or 50 home runs and plus 60 and beat the all-time Yankee record. He just didn't look like he had it at the plate in the postseason. Just didn't have it. .063. Stanton hit 250. Rizzo hit 250. Rizzo had two big singles yesterday, driving a couple of runs. What will the Yankees roster look like next year? What will the Dodgers roster look like next year? What do you think? What will the Padres roster look like next year? 347-205-9631 is our number. 347-205-9631. What do you think? I mean, do you have any comments about that? I mean, I think you should, as I'm trying to reach around here. 347-205-9631. Okay. Central Section football rankings. 1 week to go. Clovis West from Fresno, 8-1. But you know what? They lost to Central at Clinton Stadium in Fresno, 45-0. How can you be 8-0, the top-ranked team in the Central Section, go on the road? I picked this. I picked Central to upset them a week and a half ago, and they did it, but 45-0? I asked a guy in Fresno, were some players in Clovis West team, were they ineligible? Were they hurt? He goes, no. They just got old-fashioned ass-kicking. Okay. So why are they still number one in the section if they got beat 45-0? 8-1. Okay, number two, Buchanan of Clovis, 7-2. And they lost to Clovis North, 20-21. They will finish out their season, regular season, at Clovis East. Clovis West is playing Clovis. Number three, Liberty of Bakersfield, who trounced Frontier 45-7. They play Bakersfield High this week. It is not a league game, but it's a big rivalry affair. So Liberty finished 4-0 in the Southeast Somebody River League. Liberty has not lost a game in league since 2016 when BHS beat them. And Bakersfield High that year went on to win the Central Section Championship. Liberty at 7-2. Number four, Central of Fresno moved up, and they're 6-3. And San Joaquin Memorial Fresno, number five at 7-2. Then you have Central Valley Christian of Visalia. They're still unbeaten at 9-0. St. Joseph's of Santa Maria, 8-1. Kingsburg at 8-1. Clovis North, 5-4. And Clovis East at 6-3. Now, Clovis East won the first six games this year. They have lost three consecutive games. AP Top 25, college football. Number one, Georgia. Number two, Ohio State. Number three, Tennessee, the same as last year, or last week. Number four, Michigan. Number five, Clemson. Then we have Bama, TCU, Oregon at number eight. As they really blitz UCLA at home, at Austin Stadium, 45-30. They are 6-1. Oklahoma State, number 9. Then USC have moved up to number 10, despite having a bye. The Trojans are 6-1, and they play at 3-4 Arizona this week. UCLA got knocked down to number 12. They were number 9. The Bruins, 6-1. And they will host Stanford Saturday at the Rose Bowl. Stanford is 3-4. So Ole Miss, Syracuse, and UCLA fell from the unbeaten list. 347-205-9631 is our number. NBA, okay, Damian Lillard, his second consecutive game of 40-plus. He had 41 as Portland beat the Lakers 106-104 on really a last-second shot by Grant. Jeremy Grant came over from Detroit. Lakers now 0-3, and the Lakers have the worst three-point shooting in the first three games of the season ever in NBA history. 21%, 21%. I think yesterday they were about 18%, so that's bad. LeBron, 41-8-8. AD had 22 points, 10 rebounds. But Damian Lillard had 41 points for Portland and missed most of last year with an injury. Come back blazing, man. He is blazing. Okay. NFL, Seattle 37, Chargers 23. Seattle, first-place team in the NFC West. They got a lot of guys for Russell Wilson in the offseason. Nobody thought they'd be this good, and they are. I'll tell you what, they're running the football. Walker III, a rookie, ran for 168 yards yesterday and a couple of scores. Geno Smith, man, this guy is becoming a player. Been a career backup, great player in college, 20 of 27, 210 yards, two touchdowns, one pick in the game yesterday. Seattle was ahead 17-0 after a quarter, and they went 37-23. Herbert for the Chargers, 33-51, 293 yards, a couple of scores and a pick. Eckler, 31 yards rushing and 96 yards receiving for the Chargers. What about that game in the afternoon? Kansas City, 44, and the 49ers, 23. Most of that game was won in the fourth quarter. KC now 5-2, and the Niners at 3-4. They outscored San Francisco, or Santa Clara, 30-10 in the second half. 30-10, most of that in the fourth quarter. Mahomes, 25-34, 423 yards, three touchdowns, one pick. Smith-Schuster had seven receptions for 124 yards and a score. Jimmy G for the Niners, 25-37, 303 yards, a couple of touchdowns and a pick. Kittle tied in six receptions, 98 yards and a touchdown. Okay, Cincinnati now, 35-17 over Atlanta. The Bengals now 4-3. Remember, they started off 0-2, and Atlanta 3-4 knocked off the Niners the previous week. But look at Burrow, Joe Burrow, what a game. 34-42, 481 yards, three touchdowns. Boyd, eight receptions, 155 yards and a score. And Chase, eight receptions for 130 yards and a couple of touchdowns. Mariota, only 8 of 13 for 124 yards and a score. And Dallas, 24, Detroit, 6. That was a tight game. But Dallas outscored the Lions by 21-0 in the second half. Prescott, first game back, 19 of 25, 207 yards and a score. Pollard, 83 yards rushing. And Goff for Detroit, 21-26, 228 yards, but two costly interceptions in the fourth quarter, plus he lost a fumble. So Goff, doing his regular, had a pretty good game, but made mistakes when it really counted. Okay, Las Vegas, 38, Houston, 20, kind of came back in that game. Derek Carr, 21-27, 241 yards and a touchdown. Jacobs had 143 yards rushing and three touchdowns for the Las Vegas Raiders. Wow. Okay. Looking pretty good. Our number 347-205-9631. 347-205-9631. My name is Mark Heffernan, Mark H. So, I don't know if I'm getting any texting from, some of the listeners. Cabby, going to the Lambs game Sunday, going to be silence of the Lambs, 8-0 versus Lambs. You know, Cabby always fails to mention the fact that the Niners got beat in the NFC Championship last year. And when's the last time the Niners won the Super Bowl? Okay, when's the last time they won the Super Bowl? They're primarily in one decade. So the guy always refuses to mention that, which is the most important game of the last eight they've played. Yeah, they've had the Rams' number in a regular season. Didn't beat them last year, though. When it counted, they didn't beat them. 49ers had to kneel down and bow to the Rams last year at SoFi in a big game, NFC Championship, the winner going to the Super Bowl, the Rams went on and won, the Niners went back home to San Francisco. Or is it Santa Clara? So they go to Santa Clara or San Francisco? What city? Okay, whatever. I'm from Huntington Beach. Hi, Ann, what's going on? Well, so ready to go to Petco tonight. Well, Ann, you can still go to Petco tonight. Take a picture outside of Petco, send it to Mark, and he'll send it to me. I want to know what you look like. You're a Padres fan. I like San Diego. I'm not a fan of the Padres, but I like San Diego. Remember, I took a picture outside of Petco Park last January. Maybe that was a positive or a plus for the Padres. So you should go to Petco anyway, downtown San Diego, Gaslight District. Take a picture, send it to Mark, or send it to me. Check it out. Okay, what else do we have? Sal from Germantown, Philly Freedom, City of Champions, dancing on her own. Well, wait a minute now. The Phillies haven't won a championship. They won the National League championship. They're in the World Series. They're the underdog. They like it that way. I know. They got Schwarber, Harper, a lot of other guys, Hoskins, pretty good pitching staff. But remember, they're not champs yet, and neither are the Houston Astros. Houston has been there before. They won just once recently in 2017. So they got to win it too. So put your foot on the pedal, cool down a little bit. They're champions of the National League. They're not champions of Major League Baseball yet. And neither are the 76ers are not champs of the NBA. Yeah, they won some championships in the past, but none recently. I know they're picked as a NBA contender every year. I don't think they're going to get it done this year. I don't think they have the makeup to win, and I don't think they have the coach to win. Yeah, he won in Boston, but he had better players in Boston, a better big three. So you got you're not a champion until you hold the trophy, unless you finish it. Okay, Harry from Mesa, Arizona. Lakers might be 20 games under 500 by Turkey Day. Maybe. And the question is Darvin Ham's tenure with the Lakers, is it safe? If the team is 20 games under 500 by Thanksgiving Day, is his job secure? Is it safe? Is Rob Pelinka's job secure or safe? Dave from Costa Mesa, next week, Halloween Havoc. Okay, whatever. Ready to roll. Right on. Let's go. He is a podcaster, a sportscaster, and a sports writer. He covers sports and life. There's a podcast called The Program. J.B. Joe Ellis, welcome to Markman Madness. How are you?
Good. How's it going, Mark?
Hey, pretty good. What's happening?
Not much. Just watching some basketball right now, relaxing, going to maybe turn on this football game. But as usual, the NFL puts bad games on in primetime.
Yeah, that seems like they put a lot of bad games on Monday Night Football. I don't think they have any good games after Sunday Night Football and all the games on Sunday and Thursday night. And the thing is, I guess they don't have a flex schedule for the Monday night games, or they want to utilize all the teams in the league, but kind of a downer between New England and Chicago. And once again, weather is going to play havoc there. You saw it raining a little bit in Philly and also in New York, and now they're in Massachusetts, obviously. So, the Bears are used to playing in bad weather, so it probably won't hurt them. Their problems are on offense. A decent defensive team. A big game for both, though, because the Bears I think New England is coming in with a record of 3-3, and the Bears are worse than that. So I don't think either team's going to do that much this year, but New England has more of a chance than the Bears to raise some havoc or so during the course of this year.
Yeah, no, I mean, they're going to be in the spoiler role with AFC East. I mean, you have three other good teams. I mean, the Jets are finally playing football. Robert Saleh is a great coach. The Bills are the Bills. I mean, they're, probably between them and the Chiefs, everyone's choice to make the Super Bowl out of the AFC. And, the Dolphins are coming on. Take away those couple of weeks with the whole Tua controversy. They've been doing really well.
What do you think of the Dolphins' chances to win that division? Or do you think they're more of a playoff team?
It's going to be tough. The AFC is stacked with a lot of good teams, and the way that they handled the whole Tua thing, they cost themselves at least one win. Because I think if they would have played Bridgewater that Thursday night and they would have game planned with them, I think they would have ended up beating Cincinnati. But starting Tua, him getting hurt, and then having to change the plan mid-script, I think it cost them that game that was a winnable game. And that's gonna probably turn up big for them.
Well, Chicago's 2-4 this year, and New England's 3-3. The Bears only average 15.5 points per game. and New England's favored by 8, and New England about 23.5 points a game. The Pats are 4-0 all-time at home against the Bears, outscoring them by 20-plus points per outing. The Bears have lost 4 consecutive times on Monday Night Football. Maybe that's a good omen for the Bears. Since everything's gone against them, the whole world's against them, maybe they'll pull off the upset. Maybe,
I think. It can't hurt.
There's Why
so
not?
Many strange things in the NFL this year. I mean, the Giants are, what, 6-1? They stopped everybody on
amazing?
The last drive.
Well,
you know,
no, think
I
about
like
them. They play close to the cuff. You know, every game, they're a pretty good defensive team. Don't make too many mistakes. They have Barkley back, who's healthy. And they kind of hang tight every game, and then they win in the fourth quarter. So it's been a great recipe for success early on. But how will they play when the pressure starts mounting? The second part of the year, the last 8 or 9 games, are they going to be winning like they are now? That's when the pressure starts to mount and teams start playing better. Well, you have the contenders then, and then you have the pretenders.
Yeah, I think, though, Giants fans at this point are just thrilled because we actually have football we can watch. We're in games. We're playing the way we should play. I mean, before the year, if you would have told me we were going to get 6 wins, I'd have said that's a great year compared to what we've done. And that would have been fine. Now we have a chance, if we play the way we should play, 11 wins isn't out of the possibility. So, you know, got to give a lot of credit to coaching.
In Buffalo right now, and maybe KC, there's a lot of parity in the NFL, as you know. It seems like anybody can beat anybody else. It seems like Buffalo and Philadelphia are kind of on a plane by themselves. But, you know, KC's right up there. And the thing about Buffalo, of course, Josh Allen has to stay healthy. He does so much for that team. They lose him, they're in really bad shape. I mean, he runs over people, which I don't think is a good idea, even if you are 250, because any time you can take a shot in the NFL, then you got to learn to slide a little bit more. You want to play 17 games in regular season. You want to be healthy for the playoffs. You want to win it all. You got to be healthy. And you can't be – I know it's fine having confidence, things like that, but you got to be smart once in a while too. That's also if you want to have a long career. If you want to have a long career, you don't try to run over guys all the time. You can do that when you're 25 and 26. You start doing that when you're 30, another 5 years, he's not going to have a long career. I don't care how big he is, because the game's going to come back and haunt you. Tom Brady is playing at 45 not as well as he was in the past because he hasn't taken a lot of shots in his career. He's not a running quarterback. Brady doesn't try to run over guys, even though he's about 6'4", 220. He's not a physical type of quarterback. He uses more smarts on the field. It's not about being macho. It's about staying on the field and being healthy to do your thing over a long period of time. Running over guys doesn't prove anything. It looks good on ESPN and on Fox, but sooner or later it's going to come back and haunt you. Any quarterback tries to play that way, they know about that. It comes back to bite them after 6, 7, or 8 years. You got to figure out a different way to do it.
Without a doubt. I mean, I think that's a big issue that Buffalo has. They have to find a running back that they can rely on so that Josh Allen doesn't have to be their running game. You know, that's
kind of like the high
school
where their quarterback's a top runner, top passer, and top offensive player on your team. I just think that's too much. I'm not saying they're not going to win the Super Bowl this year. I just think it's too much for the next, 2 to 5 years. You got to get somebody else back there to help them out a little bit.
No, I definitely agree with you completely. I think it's important.
Kind of a problem that Mahomes has had a little bit in KC. He almost does too much, but he's backed off a little bit. They have a little bit of a running game. He's utilizing a lot of receivers. You don't have an explosive one like Hill they had the last few years, but I think Smith-Schuster has done a good job, kind of a mid-range receiver, then he's breaking long ones. So Mahomes is going to more receivers than in the past because Kelce is his number one guy. And Patrick, he's smarter now than he was 3 years ago. And so he slides when he has to. But he's been in the league longer than Josh Allen. But he doesn't try to run over guys. And it's probably a good idea for him not to. But Mahomes is stronger and faster than people think that he is. You've seen him in some of the playoff games in recent years. He gets around the edge quicker than you think. And he's stronger than he looks. He's bigger than he looks. That's because you're seeing him against linemen that are between 6'4" and 6'6", 280 to 340 pounds. He looks small to them, but he's small, not a small guy. He's not as big as Allen, but he's probably about 220 pounds, something like that. So he could take a shot.
Without a doubt, I mean, but also he's so key to their their lineup as well. Without Mahomes, what do you really have there?
J.B. Ellis is my guest on Markman Madness here on Blog Talk Radio, driven by Mancini Media. Our producer is Mark Mancini. I'm Mark Heffernan. Our number 347-205-9631, 347-205-9631. Hey, J.B., you have a podcast called The Program that covers sports and life. Tell me about the podcast and how is it available?
So The Program is actually on the Believe Network, so that's been on hiatus for a little bit. Right now, I am with Sideline Sports. You know, we have about 12 to 15 shows, 7 nights a week. You can catch it on any social media, as well as the main show, Sideline Sports, and the Sports Arena are also on DBTV a few times a week. You can get that at dbtv.tv. And that's actually worldwide. It's on cable networks in Europe. It's a streaming app on Fire Stick, Roku, and all over. You can follow me, JB_theprogram, on Twitter or Sideline Sports 1 for all Sideline Sports and see all of our shows there. And there's, you know, there's different shows every night of the week. We have the NFL Carousel, Alex Fleming's NFL Carousel, which goes over the whole NFL, hosted by Eric Wilson, one of my great partners, which is a big show this time of year. Find out what's going to happen every Sunday with some of the best analysts we have. You know, we run the gamut. Sideline Sports is tomorrow night at 8:30 with myself, Jake Malik, and John Shearer. We usually have some really good guests on. We've had Lee Steinberg. We've had Mike Babchick from Morning Men. You know, we've had a bunch of different people. We've got out to the Super Bowl and covered that live on Radio Row. So we've done a bunch of different things there.
Don't you have a program called Confidential?
What happened?
You have a program called Confidential.
Oh, yeah, Confidential. That's it covers the Chicago Cubs. We started that this year. And we actually went out to Iowa to cover the AAA team as well to kind of bring the future of the Cubs into everybody's house as well, because a lot of people don't get to see the minor leagues, to get the chance to show them the ballpark and, you know, introduce them to the great people out at Iowa.
What were your impressions of the Chicago Cubs season?
Oh, miserable. I mean, I coined the new phrase, the Ross loss. You know, great player, David Ross. You know, he was great when he was in Chicago, did a lot of the intangibles. You know, great role player, fan favorite, big during the World Series victory. But doesn't have consistency with his lineup. I think, to me, that's important. I'm old school baseball. I like consistency. I like starting pitchers to go 6, 7, 8 innings. I get that doesn't happen every day nowadays, you know, but 4 innings for pitchers, and then you're playing around with the bullpen. You got guys batting 1st, 2nd, 3rd, 4th, 5th, you know, in a week. It's not good for consistency. And when guys don't know what they're doing and what their rules are, it makes it a lot harder. You know, just because they're making 10, 20 million a year doesn't mean that they don't want to have consistency in their job so they can do it professionally and well.
Well, as you know, the Cubs gave up a lot of their top players a few years ago after they won the championship. Were you in agreement with that? I mean, just kind of like a fire sale approach? I know the fans don't like that because they want a winning team. And the Cubs had some pretty good teams under Coach Madden. And then, of course, they kind of went down the tubes and they let go of some of their top run producers and a pitching staff. I'm sure you as a fan didn't care for that, but is there a positive to that?
So when you don't win a World
by the Cubs front office.
When you don't win a World Series in, you know, 80 plus years, you know, it's never a positive when you finally do it and you trade away the key parts to it. But they have a phenomenal farm system, the Cubs. They're going to be back in the playoffs and contending probably within the next 2 to 3 years. You know, they'll probably sign a few free agent pieces, but, you know, they do have a phenomenal farm system. The guys that, you know, are ranked where they are could come up through the ranks and, you know, get to the big leagues. And you see part of it now with Nico Horner, you know, and a couple other guys that are up there, you know, towards the end of the season. There's a lot of young blood that are hungry and that have a lot of talent. So, you know, within a couple of years, they'll be back into the playoffs. And nowadays, as you see with the Phillies making the World Series, anybody can win. You just have to get into the playoffs.
Right. Were you surprised that the Houston Astros had such a great season? Did you pick them to make it to the World Series from the American League?
I actually did. You know, I'm a huge Yankee fan, and from the beginning of the year, even when the Yankees were doing phenomenal, I said, you know, we're not going to make the World Series. This is great. It's fun to watch, but this is not our year. We haven't done the little things that will get us to where we need to be. We're not, you know, we don't hit the playoffs for whatever reason. I heard you say it before I came on about Aaron Judge, the 62 home runs that he was mentally drained. I think that was
a huge problem.
It looked
like he was. Looking at his face.
Yeah.
He didn't seem that aggressive at the plate. He wasn't hitting the ball solid. And, of course, you know, he struck out 7 of his first 8 times at bat against Cleveland. Had a couple of hits, you know, in the next series, but didn't really do much, obviously. When he hit .063, that's worse than me. So, you know, that's not doing much.
Not at all.
At all.
I think the problem was the team went, you know, the team and the market, everyone was excited for the number 62, and they forgot about number 28. You know, as a Yankee fan and, you know, New York person, 62 home runs means nothing. And I don't care what anybody says. Barry Bonds was the home run king for the year. He's got 73. You know, whatever your belief is, if you want to say it's Roger Maris, you know, I'm going to disagree with you. It's Barry Bonds. So he has the American League record. Big deal. Give me 28. I'll take 28 with 2 homers because you can bunt and steal bases and still win a World Series. So I don't need to see 62 home runs. If it wasn't 74, 62 means absolutely nothing.
Well, he hit a deep drive to right center field yesterday, and they caught out the warning track. Initially, I thought it was going out, and I said maybe the wind was blowing in. So that would have been a big hit last night, and maybe the Yankees would have won. But maybes don't count, as you know, and ifs don't count in sports. And so his ball, which looked like he hit well, was caught the warning track, would have been a 2-run shot, and maybe the Yankees would have won. But as like I just said, maybes don't count. But nevertheless, Houston was a better team. They have a better combination of pitching and hitting. And I think Houston's better in the clutch. I think Houston's better in the clutch than the Dodgers. I'm a Dodger fan. In my heart, I felt Houston was the best team in baseball going back to late August and September. I didn't think the Dodgers had improved. They were winning games, but I didn't think they had improved. And so, and the thing is, they play a lot of people. They were won by 23 games in their division. Nobody really pushed them. But one thing about Houston, they lose guys, and they bring up other people that are just as good. And Dusty Baker is the right manager for the team. And then you watch them, they can win 1-0 in 18 innings. They can win 10-9. They can win 5-4. If they're down by 3 or 4 runs, they can come back and win. They don't hang their heads. They battle back. And, you know, even being a Dodger fan, the problem I have with them, even though they had 28 come-from-behind victories this year in the regular season, which led baseball, they don't do that very often in the postseason. The Astros, you get ahead of them, they don't really care. They don't hang their heads. They battle back and they just beat you. They find a way to score more runs than the opposition. That sounds simple, but they do that. Whether they win 1-0, 2-1, 3-2, 6-2, or 10-9, they'll get it done. That's why they're 7-0, and I'm picking them in the World Series. Now, things happen in baseball. Philadelphia's been a hot team, but they haven't faced the Astros. Playing the Mets and the Dodgers and the Padres, they're not the Astros, none of those teams. The Astros win every year. They're tough mentally, the Astros. Tougher than the teams they beat. They've won before. They expect to win. So we can have an upset. I don't see it in the best of 7. Now, I know anything can happen in sports now. Philadelphia is very good at home. Houston's very good at home. They're great at home. And they have the home field advantage, but I don't think it'll take them 7 games. I think at most 6 games. You got it from Mark H. right here. I'm picking the Astros. I'm not guaranteeing, but I'm picking them to win 6 games. Now, our producer, Mark Mancini, he's a Pittsburgh Pirates fan. He thinks the Pirates are going to win the World Series in 2 or 3 years. He also picked the Padres over the Dodgers. They got it done. He picked the Padres over the Phillies. Of course, the Phillies won 3 straight. They were tough games, but they won it, you know, in the clutch. Now, he's going with the Phillies in 6 games. I'm not sure who your pick is between Philadelphia and Houston. Now, you picked Houston to win the American League Championship. Who did you think would win the National League Championship Series? Or who did you think was the best team in the National League going into the playoffs.
So I had thought the Braves were actually going to come out again from the National League.
That's fine,
you know?
Yeah.
But, I had a problem, and I said this before the playoffs started. The week off between the wild card games and the second round,
yes,
where the teams got the bye, I thought was bad. Baseball's not a sport where taking a week off is beneficial. There's so much timing that goes into hitting and pitching that having,
mm-hmm,
you know, that extended period of time off throws the guys off. And if you notice, the two National League teams that have the bye week lost, the Yankees went to game five. And the Mariners, although they got swept, they gave Houston a really tough series. You know,
yep, they did.
So all three of those games could have went the other way. So,
yes,
you know, the bye almost was horrible. You almost had, you know, the four lower seeds in the two championship series. It could have very, very easily have done that, you know, had game five gone differently and the Mariners done a few things differently in their games.
Well, Alvarez had that walk-off home run, that shot to right center, then he had another home run. But that's the thing about Houston. You watch them, you think you have them beat, you think you have them down, and somebody comes up with a big hit for that team. So the Dodgers don't have, and I'm a Dodger fan, that's what they're missing. I think there's something wrong with their organization. The problem is they want to keep everybody all the time. Why keep the same people when you're pretty much doing the same thing every year, except for 2020, which was a short season? In a regular season, they won over 100 games every year, practically every year. But something happens to them in the postseason, even when they change faces. What's wrong? Is it in management? Is it in Roberts? Is it in Freeman ahead of him? Is it in the players? What is their problem? I mean, you're from the outside. I see the Dodgers a lot on TV. I listen to the games on radio, and I follow them for six and a half months. I never have a lot of confidence when they go into the postseason, even when they play in a divisional series. The team I see in a postseason is not the same team I see during the year. I don't know why they're constantly, they look tight all the time. They don't look comfortable. When they get down in the game, it's like, oh, here we go again. Houston, they get down, it's no big deal. They just go out and kick ass. They're down by two runs in the ninth inning, they'll find a way to beat you. Whether it's with a bunt single or hit the right foot or home run, they will find a way to win the games. It doesn't bother them to be down at all in the game. They can win ahead. They can come from behind. They're an amazing team. Now, they haven't won the World Series yet, but you compare them to the Dodgers, the two teams won the most in Major League Baseball. Houston with 106, Dodgers 111, and that's the difference in the two teams. And, you know, the Dodgers get players from other teams. For some reason, they put on that Dodger uniform, and they're not good in the clutch. I mean, they hit like Aaron Judge does. Aaron Judge, you know, had a fine year, hit over 300, 131 RBIs, 133 runs scored, 62 home runs, couldn't hit a lick in the postseason. Now, I made an excuse for him that he looked like he was tired mentally. Well, that's fine. I threw out an excuse because he had a great year. But Aaron Judge has never done a lot in the postseason. I read one year he struck out 15 times and 21 at-bats. I think it was against Cleveland a few years ago. I remember the Yankees had lost four straight series to Houston. So who's the Yankees' daddy right now? It's the Houston Astros. Who's your daddy, as I say? Said, yeah, that's the whole thing. I can't figure out why the Dodgers are not a good team in the clutch. Mookie Betts had a good year. You know, I think his batting average is a little bit too low, a 268, 35 home runs, career high, over 100 runs scored, blah, blah, blah. He had 143 in the series. What's that all about? But see, Mookie Betts gets a pass, either because he's a great bowler or because people like him. I like him too. But here's the whole thing. Whether I like a guy or not personally has nothing to do with me calling him out when he doesn't do what he's supposed to do. They pay him a nice big contract. He's part of the big three. He flopped in the series. Now, Trey Turner was fine. He was okay. Made some fielding woes. And, you know, Freddie Freeman was the best. Freddie's always consistent. A much better hitter than Mookie Betts. Betts is a better overall player, but Freeman is a better hitter. You know, he hit like 350-something in that series, had two RBIs in the last game. He always hits. But Mookie's a very streak hitter. If you catch him hot, that's fine. What happens when he's cold? He could be cold for 3 weeks. He'd be hotter than heck, hotter than cold for 3 weeks. You don't know what you're going to get from him depending on what time of the month. You got the cold Mookie in the playoffs. And that doesn't help because the other Dodger hitters are up and down. Will Smith's fine. He didn't do a lot in that series. He was okay. But he's basically a 250 hitter. after him is like whatever. You got a lot of guys just can't hit good pitching. And even though he scored the most runs in the league, had the best on-base percentage, had the best pitching overall, it didn't really come to fruition in that short series against the Padres, but they beat 14 to 19 games this year, and they've dominated them like 76 to 38 over the past 4 or 5 years. Didn't get it done in the clutch. And the Dodgers said, we got to fix this, we got to fix that, get a power-hitting outfielder, get rid of Bellinger, get rid of Joey Gallo, who didn't do much with the Yankees. I think they need an actual closer, a good actual closer, and I think they need another quality starter. I think they have enough good pitchers on their team, but their pitchers seem to get hurt quite a bit, and when they're hurt, they're out for 2 months. So they have issues there. I think their main problem is upstairs over the Dodgers, and I think they should have gotten another manager besides Dave Roberts. Now, he won a lot of games next year, but I think he makes bad decisions in games, in critical games, and hurts their team. I was at my class reunion, so I wasn't watching the game. I thought it was a bad move by him to take out Tyler Anderson. 4-0 against the Padres this year. Had only given up 4 runs. Did you know that, Roberts? Did you really know that? What he'd done against their team, okay? No runs, 2 hits, 3-5, 86 pitches. Why are you taking him out? He's not tired. He went 7 innings a lot this year. You take him out, so you expand the bullpen instead of shrinking it. Martin should have pitched maybe in the 7th inning, not the 6th. He did well. Almonte didn't have it, and neither did the guy after him. So you lose the game. Now, I know it's easy to second guess, but if I was listening to the game or watching it, I'd say, what are you doing, man? Why are you overmanaging all the time? Let the players play. Let the players win or lose on their own. Quit getting into the way of the players. He does that too much. He overmanages.
Don't you think that's a big curse that both the Yankees and the Dodgers have? There's two problems we have. One is we both don't have very good managers. I don't like Aaron Boone. And I think
my brother doesn't either. My brother doesn't either. He doesn't like him.
Yeah, I think you could do better than Roberts. But because we win a lot of games every year and we're perennially in the playoffs, and unfortunately George has passed away, we've had Aaron Boone for a while. We have consistency because we're winning and they're making a lot of money by making the playoffs every year. So,
but Jason, you think that the Dodgers would win a lot of games without Roberts? I mean, they won a lot of games in the regular season because there are weak teams in our division. They have a lot of depth. And so when a starter is out for 3 weeks or a month, they still go out there and win games because they have a lot of depth. Their backup players are very good. The problem with their backup players, they don't do that well against quality pitching, which is what you face every game in the playoffs. They face a lot of bad pitchers with the ERAs between 4 and 5.5, and the Dodgers hit bad pitching very well. They probably score between 7 and 9 runs a game against bad pitching, like at Arizona, Colorado, a lot of teams that they play. But when they advance to the playoffs, they're facing the best starters and best relief pitchers of the other team. Then they struggle. Like against the Padres, they only average about 3 runs a game through five games. During the regular season, they average over 5 runs a game against the Padres. But in the series, they only average like 3. And so there's something to that. I think they'd win a lot of games without Roberts. I don't think he does that much as far as helping them win games in the regular season. But in the playoffs, his role is more important, and to me, he doesn't get it done, doesn't deliver.
Me or you could coach them and make the playoffs without a problem, the Yankees and the Dodgers. But when you get to the playoffs, you need a manager that, understands the intricacies of, baseball when it's high pressure. You have to know exactly when you have to make changes. Perfect example, Aaron Boone last night. The Yankees got up 3-0. The pitcher ended up, I think, pulling his groin, and they still sent him out there.
Yeah, he was hurt.
They didn't let him go out. It's an elimination game. I mean, I wouldn't understand that if you were up 3-0 and you still sent him out there. First of all, you don't want him to get, more hurt that he can't come back if there is another chance for him to pitch. But it's an elimination game. Now you gave up your lead, the momentum you had, and now you're back to a tie game. It was just a horrible move. I'm watching that.
Didn't he walk 2 batters in that inning?
Yeah.
No, I would have taken him out. After he walked 2 batters, 2 runners on, I would have taken him out. You got to win that game. You got to win that game at any cost. Kept him in there, and then, of course, gave up the shot to Pena to tie it up. That changed the momentum. And the game after that was kind of back and forth, but I had a feeling the Yankees would not win after that. I'd yank him. Can't worry about resting the bullpen. You use some of your starters in the game. Your job is to win at least that game. to win that one game. We'll worry about the next one the next day. Your job is to win that game. So after he put two guys on base, I'm yanking him. And some of the Dodgers, if he got in trouble in the sixth inning against the Padres, then I would take him out. If he walked two guys, or walked a guy, gave up the hit, and there were two runners on, then I would take out Anderson. But the fact is, against Soto and Machado, they only hit about 170 against him this year. Did Roberts know that? And remember, Soto's a left-handed batter. Anderson throws left-handed. So you look at how he's done this year against San Diego. You look at 15-5, you know, low 2.5 ERA in the regular season. Done really well against San Diego. Pitching well on this day. Stay with the guy. What are you taking the damn guy out for? What's wrong with you? Did you get a call from Friedman? Is he looking at his computer? Friedman, Andrew Friedman, thinks he knows everything about baseball. Was Roberts making the decision solely on his own? Or was Friedman getting in the way, which he tends to do? I don't know. Yeah. I'm just saying that. Keep the guy in the darn game, you know? Let players decide who wins and loses the game. Roberts is not playing anymore. And the thing is, Roberts, when he was a player, he was a very aggressive player. He stole bases, stole a big base against the Yankees. But as a manager, he's sometimes very laid back. He's, like, sometimes afraid to do things from an aggressive standpoint. But, no, I totally disagree with him taking the guy out. Clayton Kershaw, yeah. I would take him out after five because we know Kershaw. He goes to the sixth or seventh inning in a postseason game, he just loses it quickly. He gives it one hit, and he's putting his head between his legs, and he's freaking out there. He's sweating the whole thing. You get five from him, that's enough, because he gave it three runs in five innings in the game that he pitched. And, you know, he shut him down the fourth and fifth inning, but he didn't have it. So I would have taken out Kershaw for four innings in the game that he pitched, because I could tell he didn't have it. Rob's always worried about resting his pitchers all the time. Now, Hulo didn't pitch that well. He gave up three and five. But Anderson was their best starter in that series. I go as long as I can with him. If he gets in trouble in the sixth inning, then I'll take him out. If he doesn't, now if he gets two outs in an inning, maybe I'll take him out and bring in Martin, you know, with two outs. But I would at least bring him out in the sixth inning. But, you know, whatever. That's backseat quarterback, and so I was doing something else. Anyway, I wanted to ask you on your credential for all major sports leagues. You covered the last two Super Bowls and the WNBA draft. How exciting was it to cover the Super Bowl?
Oh, it was amazing. I mean, you know, I just started a few years ago. You know, I sat down with I had my show on Believe, which was a great honor. They're a great network. You know, then I went to work with John Shearer and Eric Wilson and Jake Malik, and we created Sideline Sports. And, you know, within the first 6 months, we got the opportunity to cover the first Super Bowl. And it was mostly virtual because of COVID. But, you know, we were in the interview rooms, and basically every question was coming from one of us, which was amazing. You know, then the following year, myself and John got to go out to L.A. and, you know, experience it in person and, you know, got to meet some phenomenal people, you know, the who's who of the NFL, and, you know, sit down and talk with them, do a show from Radio Row, you know, seeing the top players in the NFL. You know, and all the different events that the NFL has during Super Bowl week. I mean, it was just an amazing experience. I mean, something that I'll never forget. I can't wait to go to Arizona later this year or early next year.
How about the WNBA draft? What was that experience like?
That was really cool. I mean, I had been to the NFL draft years ago before I was in media and, you know, got to see that. But the WNBA draft was a phenomenal experience. They had it in downtown Manhattan. It was a first-class operation. You know, you got to see the players with their families. You know, they did a great job putting on, having a great venue. Got to sit down and talk to Lisa Leslie for a few minutes, which is always a treat. I met her during the Super Bowl. She's a phenomenal person. And just, you know, to see what a great product they have. But they don't get enough attention, unfortunately.
J.B. Ellison, my guest on MMM here on Blog Talk Radio, driven by Mancini Media. Our number 347-205-9631, 347-205-9631. You're a Brooklyn guy. What are the Brooklyn Nets' chances of winning the Eastern Conference this year in the NBA?
Well, they still got Harry Irving, so I don't know. You never know what you get with him. Yeah, he's got so much talent, but he's so out there.
Yeah.
If he focuses and plays basketball the way he can play basketball, between him and Kevin Durant, and if Ben Simmons does anything that a basketball player can do and he has the talent to do, they're going to be tough, but they still got to learn to play together. They haven't played much together yet, you know, so they're going to have to see what their roles are and to see. But I think they're going to be in contention. I don't think they're going to come out of the East. I like Boston, to be honest with you. Jason Tatum is so good. And then they got Brown, who's phenomenal. They're going to be a tough team to beat.
Marcus Smart.
Yeah. I mean, he's just
Let me ask
a great
you this.
Defender.
There was talk that Kyrie Irving will sign with the Lakers, I think it's next summer. I mean, a lot of rumors about that. Do you think those are true or just a bunch of a BS?
It wouldn't shock me. He's, you know, everything that's logical, he does the opposite. And to
Doesn't
go back
he still
to
believe
LeBron,
the earth is flat? He believes the earth is flat, right? Just like Shaquille O'Neal?
So
these guys scientists now?
If you've ever listened to the J.J. Redick podcast, back in the day, he had Kyrie on. That's how I learned a lot about him. And actually how I got into podcasting when I started. J.J. had a phenomenal podcast. So listening to Kyrie talk, he's actually really intelligent, you know, I may not agree with him, but he believes in what he believes in. And, you know, there's definite reasons for it in his head. And it's interesting to hear how he thinks about it, but he's out there. And I can
see
he's
definitely out there.
See,
do you think Ben Simmons has a mental framework to be a positive influence on the Nets this year? What about him mentally? We're not talking about him physically. He has physical gifts. What about his mental work ethic and his framework to be a top-notch NBA player?
Well, you know what? He's playing this year, so I give him credit for that because he could have continued to try and sit out. You know, it's possible that there was something physically wrong with him last year. I'm not the doctor on the team, so I don't know. And I've heard a couple of good theories that adding him to the mix at that point with his already shaken confidence with the way Doc Rivers handled the whole thing in Philadelphia – could have been even worse, so just let him sit out the year. The Nets weren't going to win the championship anyway. Wait till next year. And, you know, he's been playing okay. He's been doing what Ben Simmons does, and he's not expected to be the alpha there. You got Kevin Durant, so that, you know, he's got one of the best players in the league on his team. He's got Kyrie Irving, who thinks he's better than he is, and he's still one of the top point guards in the league, but he still thinks he's even better than that. So Ben Simmons just has to be third. Not a lot of pressure to be third in life. Nobody ever aspires to be third. And Ben, no matter what he does, he's not going to be better than third. So might as well just go out there and do what he can do.
Well, the Chicago Bears have been listening to me. They had 10-0 early in the second quarter at New England. Do you think the Bears will go on to win this game, or will they fade in the second half?
You know, it's interesting. Jeff Belichick.
I'm just throwing it out. There's no really true opinion here. I'm just throwing it out to you.
Well, I heard that they pulled Zappe. They pulled Mac Jones and put Zappe in, is what I heard.
Yeah, with Mac Jones, the injury not that effective. So, Zappe has some great stats. My brother was giving me some of his stats when he was in high school and college. Played out of small school and everything, but I think he had 7 or 8 touchdowns in the game. He put up the numbers, but, you know, I think they overlooked him because – he didn't have a lot of size, and maybe wasn't really fast, but he went places and he played ball. He got a chance to play, and he lit it up in high school and in college. So he's getting his chance. He's one of those guys, you know, a diamond in the rough. A lot of guys overlook, but he's kind of like a diamond in the rough. He has talent. When you have talent, people can work with you.
Exactly. I got to give a lot of credit to Skip.
Oh, yeah. He's worked hard
on that one. He actually called him out before the draft, saying he was actually a diamond in the rough. And, you know, so far he looks like he can play if he's given the opportunity.
Well, obviously he's doing a pretty good job in New England. And Mac Jones really injured himself badly a few weeks ago and was not very effective early on tonight. It's kind of a wet field, rainy field. And like I said, the Bears have a pretty good defense. So they made the change because Zapp's been playing very well. So if he plays well tonight, he may be the starter in the next game. You know how it is in pro sports. It's all about winning. Everybody loves a backup quarterback. They can't stand the starter when the starter struggles. They love the backup. But when the backup plays two or three games and sucks out there, then they love the backup who used to be the original starter. That's how it is in pro sports, and also the same in college. JB Joe Ellis, how can people get in touch with you?
So JB underscore the program on Twitter, at Sideline Sports 1 as well for Sideline Sports, 7 nights a week programming, like I said. Those would be the best places, or I believe it's JB Ellis on Facebook. Definitely, you know, feel free to send questions there as well. And tomorrow night, 8:30, Sideline Sports.
Is that Eastern time?
Yes, Eastern.
Right on. Hey, man, thanks a lot for being on Markman Madness.
I appreciate it. Anytime you want me on, I'll be more than happy to. I had a lot of fun.
Hey, man, go Brooklyn. Come on now. Let's go.
All right, man. I appreciate it. Have a great night.
Take care. You too. Bye. And you're listening to Markman Madness here on Blog Talk Radio, driven by Mancini Media. Mark Mancini is our producer in Los Angeles. I'm Mark Heffernan in Bakersfield. Where's that? Well, that's north of L.A. by about 108 miles and south of Fresno, California by 110, right here in Central California. Hey, it's cooling off a little bit. We've had a very, very long, hot summer and early fall here in Bakersfield. I think the temperature is now going to get into the upper 80s during the day, and we're basically the last week of October, and the nights are getting cooler. So generally, I do a lot of high school football here. The last regular season games are this week, Thursday and Friday. It'll be cool at night this week. And then as we get into the playoffs, the first round, quarterfinals, semis, and finals, then it'll be cooler at night when I'm doing the games. But it's been very warm. I've been wearing shorts and a T-shirt the entire year, even though I do the games inside a press box. I'll walk around. Now, the other day, I wore jeans for the first time since I went to a funeral service about 3 weeks ago, and for the first time since I went, up in the Bay Area, months ago. But here in Bakersfield, I generally wear nice shorts and a T-shirt or a muscle shirt around, but I'm wearing jeans a little bit more now. But if it's in the 60s, I probably still wear shorts unless I have to be dressed up. Okay, thanks a lot for listening today, 347-205-9631. Okay, talking about the Bears and New England, Chicago 10, New England nothing right now. With 13:34 to play in the second quarter in Massachusetts. NBA tonight is Indiana against the Philadelphia 76ers. The freaking Philadelphia 76ers! Toronto against Miami Heat. Orlando taking on the New York Knicks. Boston playing doubles. Utah against the Houston Rockets. San Antonio taking on the Minnesota Timberwolves. Brooklyn playing the Memphis Grizzlies. That'll be a tough one. Denver against the Portland Trailblazers. Beat the Lakers yesterday by 2 points. As Lillard had his second of back-to-back 40-point games, 41 yesterday. He did not have a game-winning shot, but he scored 41 nevertheless. And then, of course, we have Lakers playing, I think, in a couple of days at Utah. Number one team, California High School Community College Football, Riverside City, as they defeated Mount San Antonio, 35-33 in triple overtime. That's in the National League Central Division. 216 yards passing, 342 yards rushing for Riverside City, who are number one. NorCal 6, National Bay 6. It was Chabot 43, San Joaquin Delta 30. Diablo Valley from Concord 23, San Mateo 21. And Laney of Oakland 28, San Francisco 23. Chabot 1-1, Diablo Valley 2-0, and Laney 1-1. Also, National NorCal, American River, Sacramento 27, Butte 25, Santa Rosa 41, Siskiyou 6, Sierra 49, Shasta 13, Fresno, Modesto, Reedley, Victorious, as was Bakersfield College, Canyons, and East L.A. You've been listening to MMM on Blog Talk Radio, driven by Mancini Media. I'm Mark Heffernan. You can get in touch with me by going to my email site, markheff20@gmail.com. God bless you. We will talk to you next week on Halloween night. Take care. MMM, Blog Talk Radio. Good night.